This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication, the show on the Aftermarket Radio Network focused on our communication and leadership skills. In our episode today, I'm so excited to be able to invite back again for part two of our conversation on the reservationist. We have Rui Martins from Evolve AD. Thanks for joining me, Rui.
Thank you. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing great. Hey, it's beautiful summer. Last time we talked, it was in the dead of winter. What more could we ask for here?
Now we're in this beautiful weather here in Nova Scotia. Yep.
Yeah, just maybe some cooler weather and some rain, right?
I'm already thinking about tire season.
Oh, it is coming. And that is a big deal. If you guys don't know about Canada, tire season is a thing to behold. Your vehicle inventory, what, triples all of a sudden in November?
Bookings out 3 and 4 weeks. It's ridiculous.
Oh, brother. Well, hey, folks, today we are doing part two of our conversation. So if you remember episode 22, we talked about the repair shop role that focuses on communication, the reservationist. It is a concept I absolutely love diving into with Rui. I don't think anybody teaches this concept better. And hey, it's going to be pretty profound. And that's the word of our day today, by the way, is profundity. And we're going to define that word for you after we hear a brief word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Ready to reduce stress and start paying yourself and your team well? Achieve your goals with the Institute's personalized coaching. Visit weareintheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Autoflow is your partner in technology. With Autoflow, enhance your client interactions in a single thread before, during, and after the visit. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, Shop Dog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call Shop Dog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Supercharge your auto shop with Inbound, AI-powered communication analytics and phone service for your professional shops. Visit callinbound.com. Are you passing along credit card fees to your customers? No one likes that. Express is the only 0% fee alternative to credit card surcharging. Visit myexpress.io. Okay, and we are back. And the word of the day today is profundity. That is a noun, my friends. It is a noun that means deep insight or great depth of knowledge or thought. I thought it was an appropriate word today, as this is just every conversation we have, Rui. I really wish.
I'm learning the word profundity. Get in there somewhere.
I really think that we do hit some notes of that word as we move into this topic. We did this, and we should probably recap a little bit from episode 22. We talked on a number of things on that related to the reservationist job in the shop. And that role that we discussed, now we discussed it really in the terms of before and during the visit. Today, we're going to go a little bit further.
Excellent. Looking forward to that. The after the visit piece is something that I'm excited about.
Well, yeah, for me too. I have a class coming up with the Institute. The Mars Marketing Intensive is going to be there. And I talk a lot about staging the next visit with digital inspections. And I talk about CRM platforms. And I talk about the human element that must be infused into our retention efforts. I have several episodes where I dive into this. I felt like our conversation really is the solution to some of the problems that we identify. And you know, as well as I do, when we start talking CRM on shops, they're usually asking, in my opinion, I've done this too. We ask a lot of the wrong questions. Everybody's like, what's the best text message to send out to our clients or the best email that'll get people to come back in? And it's the one that matters.
Craig, way back, let's say 15 years ago, 20 years ago, before the heightened awareness of texting and emailing and so forth, we were starting to send out emails. That was primarily what we were doing back then. And I remember looking at a few service advisors and saying, we can't let a client think that we care about what they do and then turn around and go, I care so much about you that I'm using a computer to call you and ask you about whether you're happy or not. You know, like that was my statement back then. Obviously, things have evolved to a whole other level at this point. But I truly believe that, you know, when you're talking about CRM, well, first of all, CRM has to be defined. Folks that might not have the profundity in CRM need to understand what CRM actually stands for. And you use the word retention, and CRM has often in the past been used as client relationship management.
Correct. Oh, you're stealing my thunder. Oh, I love it. Take that thunder, throw that rod. I asked the same question before to a group of shop owners. I said, what does the CRM acronym mean? And that's exactly what they said. Customer retention marketing. That is what they called it. And of course, you were a mentor and colleague with Bob Greenwood. Bob Greenwood was my coach. We lost him in 2021, as many of our listeners will know, but he taught me the difference between a customer and a client. And so I always say, when people ask me what CRM stands for, it's client relationship management.
Yeah. In that breath, when folks ask, what's the best text? How should I create campaigns? I have a metric for that. I turn around and I say, okay, if you have, let's say, quote unquote, six clients coming through your shop yesterday, then we should be following up, creating client relationship management around those six clients. They all have a reason to come back another time. So each one of those folks, each one of those files, let's say, quote unquote, files, are a reason to perform client relationship management. I mean, three of them might be brand new individuals. They've never been there before.
Rui, they have a reason to, sure, but they also have reasons not to. And that's why I hear it never happens in shops. Most of the time I'm talking to shop owners that are looking for CRM type solutions, which I deal with on a day-to-day basis. So the Autoflow platform, which I work in my professional career, has CRM components to it. And a lot of it can be automated. And I have had shop owners tell me over and over again, if it isn't automated, I can't use this. My team will not do. My team won't do. My staff won't do. That's the thing I hear all the time. And it does sound like a staff problem. And we've talked about this before with even taking appointments in, and this is where the reservationist role becomes so kingpin. I can agree with them.
Yes. Enters the reservationist, right? Enters the reservation.
Enters the reservationist. Bingo.
I think in a previous conversation we had, you had asked about how does the ROI look, or how do you account for mathematically for that reservation? So
you know it's coming. You say another role in the shop, another staff member, that's cost.
Right. For me, that's exactly, well, it's not a cost because people don't cost you money. They make you money. So the staffing individual, the reservationist that comes into the mix in a metrics type scenario gets added to the service advisor. So if you have two service advisors, you now have three service advisors. And the thinking and the thought process has to change from advisor, reservationist, it's support staff, right? So support staff in the shop. So if you have one service advisor and one reservationist, you have two support staff, and the reservationist, the mathematics are always, what is the cost of your service advisor, the salary of that advisor in relationship to sales? That's the metric that we're looking at. Well, now you have, what is the cost of your two support staff to your sales? Why would we look at it that way? Well, because it has to make sense. Return on investment has to exist, and your sales should increase and multiply by the fact that you are now having a reservationist on board and a CRM person on board. So the reservationist, if you look at the clues to where do they sit, they're responsible for getting people into your building through a reservation format, and they're expected then to work the other side, the 360 degree piece, is to get them back for a reservationist. So the day of the visit is the advisor. The reservationist spends her time outside of the day of the visit, making sure the client returns.
Bingo. All right. Well, let's recap a little bit about the before and during piece. In our previous conversation, you talked about the origin of the reservationist. This was really like 20 years ago, just because of something we've already identified. Service advisors didn't grow on trees as back then. As now, and that's still the case today. So that's pretty obvious that, all right, this person is going to be there to help with items that are really a waste of time for an advisor, to help with things that the advisor legitimately...
A consumption of time.
Yeah, it consumes time the advisor probably in many cases truly does not have, if we're being honest about the staff workloads that we present them with.
Yeah, agreed. In preparation for today, as well, I was thinking about what we were going to, you know, discuss in that role of the reservationist coming in the door. I think if I was to rattle off or list the things that that reservationist needs to collect. What are her processes? What are her steps, her, him, that need to collect the information? I think people would be surprised by the amount of data processing required to get a proper, quote unquote, proper reservation built. I mean, you and I can do Martin's 3 o'clock on a piece of paper pad pretty quick. We can do that pretty quick. And it hurts me to see that lots of folks out there are still doing that. They're still using Martin's 3 o'clock as their booking system.
Well, sometimes I even got the year, make, and model for the vehicle that was coming in at 3 o'clock. It was impressive if that happened.
But, you know, looking at, do parts need to be ordered for this vehicle or not? What is the transportation method for the client? Do we need to get them a shuttle? If so, what time are they coming in and where are they heading? Are we in a big city, little city? What's the logistics going to look like of getting a person? I did much work in the Calgary market, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was a 1.5 hour drive to pick people up, one person, right? So that's important. Is the SMS work order already built? Is it been approved by the client? Like, do we have approval on the dollars that we already have on the work order coming in the door? Or are we just going to surprise them with that later? Work info, like, who is the advisor that is going to look after this client when they arrive? Who's the technician that's going to look after it? All those things are logistics that if we don't take care of ahead of time, will create challenges during the day of the appointment. And problems in efficiency are created through the lack of that proper setup through the reservationist. So that's the day of stuff, right? That's the during.
Yeah, it's day of stuff, using a lot of information from the day before when they were here is what it sounds like. This is for a repeat client. And this is where I feel like it's immediately people are confused by what we're supposed to be doing this role. They're like, how are we supposed to know any of these things prior to that vehicle coming in? And we do our initial assessments on this. And as well, after you've done initial assessments, a repeat client should have already had a relatively comprehensive, I hope, inspection on that vehicle. And that comprehensive inspection is one of those things that I think is really important. Like, you have some documents of truth from the previous visit. You had a reservationist who's gathering all sorts of good details on the car. There was 8 things that you mentioned in our previous episode, very specifically, that a reservationist needed to make sure was on there. Collecting the correct phone number, spelling names correctly, offering directions to the facility, documenting the proper odometer, the common missed items. I looked at a shop the other day, Rui, about half of the vehicles never had an odometer reading at all in the history of the visit. Unbelievable, right? And then collecting email addresses. I love that you mentioned that. I did a whole episode on why email is not dead. And I do recommend people still do emails and collect that stuff. And then you also want to make sure that you know if the client is waiting or leaving the vehicle, if they need alternate transportation. And the last thing was what you call tea times. I made a mean joke about that sounding British. I'm sorry. No, you meant tea like golf. Yes.
Tea like golf. Yes, absolutely. T-double-E.
T-double-E. Yep. Tea time's a serious thing. Otherwise, you're not going to get to go golfing that day. And we need to treat our time with our advisors as that important. Looking to take your shop to the next level of quality service, team culture, and overall profitability? At the Institute, we provide personalized coaching that aligns with your goals of financial stability, excellent customer service, and employee satisfaction. Our priority is helping you establish significant and sustainable progress. We work with you to create strategies that reduce the stress of running your business, improve your quality and performance, and optimize your profitability. Experience the benefits of professional coaching by visiting weartheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Hey friends, as you know, I'm a proud member of the AutoFlow team, and let me tell you, we've changed how business is done for auto shops everywhere. We support your client experience before, during, and after the work is done. Imagine this: timely updates sent directly to your clients, branded digital vehicle inspections, and seamless communication from start to finish. That's why shops love AutoFlow. And hey, with those 5-star reviews rolling in, you'll wonder how you ever managed without us. Take an important next step and take your auto shop to the next level. Visit www.autoflow.com. Get on board with an AutoFlow trial. Want to see your auto repair shop thrive? Are you looking to drive more customers to your auto repair shop? Let ShopDog Marketing be your guide. Our customer-first approach, combined with AI-driven creative content, ensures top rankings. Dominate mobile first and voice search with our specialized expertise. Reach out to ShopDog Marketing today and start growing your business. Don't miss out on this chance to boost your business. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Our robust VoIP platform ensures you stay connected, while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound for proven expertise and unmatched innovation. Visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make. Credit card surcharging sounds effective, but is this single most damaging action to your shop in the last decade? If you're surcharging, you're tarnishing your reputation and losing customers as we speak. Express is the only 0% fee option to surcharging that your customers already know how to use. No tricks, no hidden fees. Just a smarter way for auto shops to keep what's yours and do right by your customers. Book a free consultation with Express today by visiting myexpress.io and see how the most successful shops in the country are flipping the script on credit card processors. So, all right, visit is done. We've invoiced a client out. This is where the retention efforts are really going to become pretty important. Now, truly retention efforts, and I talk about this in the course I'll be delivering too, retention efforts begin at the actual beginning of the visit when it all starts, the inspection being an integral document for this. And that's been true for your use of a reservationist and retention as well. They're really calling upon the digital inspection or an inspection in general combined with what was done in the visit. Is that correct?
That's correct. Because the inspection is the proof in the pudding. The estimate piece is also required, right? We call that deferred work. So deferred work from the inspection, deferred work from the estimate should be a combined package. So the reservations piece should include the reservationist looking after deferred work. And when you talk about it, it's interesting how you talked about it at the beginning. If I'm talking about deferred work that isn't completed, let's say we've contacted the client in 3 weeks, just call in, say hello, wanted to touch base on that ball joint we noticed was a problem a few weeks ago. Have you thought any more about it? What can we do to help make it happen? Is there a price point issue? Is there a time of appointment issue? Is there something we can help get through? That lays to rest. Once that lays to rest, when that client returns back for another appointment, the reservationist should be aware that that deferred work is sitting on the table. We should most likely have a discussion of that during an appointment booking. Guess where the problem starts? We don't have scheduling systems that allow us to look at deferred work from the previous visit nice and clean during the booking process. We only think about that later, and in many cases, miss it altogether. The client comes in, we do some tires because it's tire season. We do an oil change. They're ready for the winter, and we forgot to mention that the last time we noticed the ball joint.
Yeah, and it's getting that data in front of people too. Everybody wants data immediately. I've been reading a lot of C.S. Lewis lately and his Screwtape Letters, and one of the things that I've started to realize is that convenience is coping mechanism for very busy people especially, and that busyness is generally one of the things that muddle us. But convenience is not a solution to the problem. It's our mechanisms for trying to cope with the problem itself. And the problem, as I am starting to see it, is we don't have an owner for these tasks. We don't have a person in most repair shops who are actually focused on this as their primary function. And that's where I get really excited into this topic here, because this individual, this reservationist, while they're engaged in other elements of this, their real best function is to make sure they're using the data that we've accumulated during the day and with a human touch are actively, proactively going after it. It is not a waiting game for the reservationist to engage. They are actively hunting.
It's a huge piece of when you look at client relationship management, there's functions for the AI and there's functions for the automatic texting. So I'll pull that off the table for a second because I don't believe that we should be moving those off the table altogether.
Necessary but insufficient by themselves is the language that I've been using.
Perfect way to look at it. That reservationist needs to do, quote unquote, a research project on that file before the contact goes out to the client. So if I'm making contact and I'm saying, Mr. Client, Mrs. Client, this is why I'm calling. You're due for an oil change. I noticed that in the last 3 years, your pattern is you do an oil change every approximately 6 months. Then we should have that data to be able to communicate properly. And oh, by the way, I noticed that 2 seasons ago, you were needing snow tires, and we're now 2 seasons later or a season later, and you know you need snow tires. So I'm going to give you a quote for that also. So all those pieces. Oh, and by the way, I just noticed that as we're doing this, I looked over and your wife's car is due for an oil change in the same time frame in about a week. So should we combine those visits together, get you a car for a couple of days? So that's client relationship management as opposed to campaign and text management.
Campaigns and text. Yes, this is the thing. I constantly hear it. And I've been trying it one at a time, trying to coach people out of this mindset. But they are looking for a campaign that throws the best message against the wall and sticks the best to the most. And every time I have to have this conversation, it's the same thing. It's like, well, wouldn't the better message be the one that's targeted specifically towards a person's actual needs for a vehicle and the vehicle's actual state of health? I think that's relevant.
I mean, in an archaic kind of statement, it's shotgun hunting versus sniper rifle hunting, right? So, and then the return on investment comes along because people say, oh my goodness, if I was going to look at each and every one of my clients that goes through the building and spend that kind of time doing a project, a research project to get it right before I make the phone call out, that would take a tremendous amount of time. And, you know, I don't have that kind of time. Well, you have the time to send out text marketing and campaign marketing that gives you a 3 or 4% return. But if we create the time around a reservationist and set up an 80% retention rate or a 90% retention rate, then we're just talking drastically different returns on investment. So at that point, should we consider a reservationist as being the person who is in control of my client base? I had a client just the other day say to me that he has been focusing for the last 18, 19 months on getting that role done properly in his building. And he has now come to the conclusion that he would, in his mind, if he had to replace a service advisor, he'd prefer that over having to look at another reservation. He said that person is integral to what is going on in the building. And he would soon rather see an advisor come and go than the reservationist piece that is in control of everything. And some of these reservations that have become really good at what they're doing have even gotten to the role of actually dispatching work also. They're in the middle of dispatching. So they brought the work in the building. They already assessed who the technician is going to be. So now the next natural move is to do that too. And that's, you know, shops that can handle that and people who can handle that, right?
Yeah, it's load balancing. And then what you've mentioned in our previous episode is the reservationist develops a lot of intuition around what the vehicle inventory needs to look like for the shop. And so they're going to be doing these retention efforts with a firm awareness of what their vehicle inventory looks like and probably what some of the best opportunities look like to address a shortcoming in their vehicle inventory. Or if there's a pressing need for someone that it can wait until another spot, they're really ironing out those peaks and valleys in our scheduling.
You know, in conversation we had, you had asked about what is the metric that measures that reservations role. And you just said it. Vehicle inventory is one of them. We've noticed such a lack of proper structure and proper process in the scheduling process that we actually developed our own scheduler that has the process built in. So one of those things is to have a clear view daily, weekly, monthly of how much of that vehicle inventory is booked for that day. Not how many hours we have on the scheduler, but how many vehicles are required to achieve the results we need to do. So maybe another topic, another day, we can have a conversation around scheduler, but scheduling is broken in our industry on how it's handled. Very broken.
Oh, yes, it is. Yep, I see some silly requests on this. I have some people that want to schedule by bay. We talked about this in episode 22 a little bit, like bay scheduling. I actually was talking to a shop in Canada earlier this week, by the way, I mentioned you and told them to listen to episode 22 and then we'll talk again. And what they were running into is they were moving their appointments around and they were using a protractor for their shop management system. They're moving the appointments around to reflect when the technician is going to be able to start that. And they needed to not have a text message go out from AutoFlow every time they moved the appointment, which is a new appointment. And thus, like, oh, you're changing your appointment. Should we tell the customer? Of course, we're looking to do that. Oh my gosh, it was a mess. But I said, number one, stop moving your appointments around to try to reflect when a technician's going to get to it. You don't know.
Well, you don't know. And if the appointment is for the advisor to see the client, then the client did come in at 8 o'clock in the morning to see the advisor.
That's the big thing. Yep.
That appointment shouldn't be moved. What you're looking for is the separation between appointment, reservation, and tech flow, shop organization. That's a totally, dispatching is a totally different concept.
It really is.
One does not work with the other. And you know what that question, Craig, is across the board, one of the single biggest questions I find.
Yeah, we've all been burned by the client coming in at a time we're not ready to actually start working on the car. And their expectations were that they come in, car gets work done.
Straight into a bay.
Yep. And that's their speed of service shops that maybe can do that. Tire stores, maybe, but not necessarily in a full service facility. So, all right, reservationist in retention. Let's take it like this. Let's try to visualize this for our listeners here. Like, let's say we did everything right during the visit. Everything went right. Everything from the appointment was good. We did a perfect inspection form. They authorized some work from the inspection. We took good care of it during the visit. Everything went well. We're closing them out. We discuss a few of the outstanding items. They can't take care of them right away. This is really right away when our retention efforts begin. And you talk about exit scheduling as a number one first attempt, really.
Exit scheduling as the next, booking the next appointment, right? Like for the client. That could be as simple as we realize that you're going to need your tires changed mid-September. So why don't we book that right now today? But then there's starts the process of, should we reach out in a couple of days, 2 or 3 days?
Yeah. When is that threshold to reach out to this guy on the outstanding items? What are the severity levels that dictate this?
Yeah. Forget this outstanding work. In 2 to 3 days, I should be reaching out to this individual and saying, just reaching out to find out if everything went well with the last visit. Were you happy with the visit? The things we repaired, are they in line with what you expected it to be? Sort of a thank you for coming in. No sales call, just a thank you.
But you're not just talking a text message or an email in this context. You're talking an actual phone call.
In this case, it could start by a text, follow up by it. But no, for me, the highest level of delivery is a phone call. So a phone call to the client saying, are you happy? Are you not? The amount of data we can process in a phone call is nothing like emails back and forth. If I make the phone call, the client doesn't respond or didn't answer or was at work or whatever, then I might follow up with a text letting them know what that was all about. Two different texts, two different phone calls, one based on repeat business you had asked earlier. The other one, if it's a first time client, hey, just wondering, you came to our shop for the first time, wondering how that compared to the last shop you were working with. Did we meet your expectation? Was it the reason you changed shops? Like, let's have a conversation around the fact that it was your first visit. And did we meet what you wanted to accomplish by coming here instead of somewhere else? I came for convenience. I came for because I moved into town and I was looking for a shop. All those different conversations could matter on how we establish a relationship with that particular client.
I agree. And with a reservation, as someone who's an employee of this organization, this is a much more personal touch. Now, Rui, have you seen this? I've seen a little bit more of this lately. There's a lot of people that'll outsource that job. They'll hire an organization to do this sort of call for. Do you have any opinions on that versus the reservationist?
We actually use some of that if the client can't have a reservation. So we have some shops that are so limited by space that they can't have another person working inside that building. So now we have somebody who does it remote. My preference, absolutely in the building. I think that person listens to conversations that are going on around them, understands the vibe and the flow of the shop. So when they're talking to the client, it's very personal. It can be done professionally. But if a client calls and says, I'm having trouble with this or that, we have to have a very smooth transition system. It has to be, bear with me, I'm going to get you an advisor who spoke to you and we'll get you, you know, talking to that person immediately. So the transitions and how we do the transfers have to be very good. It can't be a scenario where we're like, oh, thank you for your feedback. I'll let the owner know and hang up. That's not, it has to be an instant transfer to an advisor.
Yeah. And use of data seems to me the challenge. If it's not somebody on a part of our core team having access to the same exact data that we've been accumulating the whole time, that's the only area. And not that this, you've talked about it with Carm on one of his episodes on remarkable results of this, how this can be a remote role. I do believe there's plenty of opportunity for that. And what I'm hearing from you too is like anything that hits on the human level in a phone call type of a relationship is going to be better than just automated stuff attempting to. Yeah.
Absolutely. Again, it can be done remotely. The CRM, in essence, 80% of what you're doing is touching base with the client, letting them know you care. Maybe you don't even have communication with them. All you've done is back and forth. They haven't responded. You've sent a message saying, thank you for your visit. People read those messages and they understand that you sent them, even though they might not have responded. So a lot of that can happen independent of the client actually touching base. But those who need to speak to you, those who want to confirm that the vehicle's not doing the same thing or is doing the same thing, those people need to speak to somebody. And then our transitions to the advisor need to be very professional and smooth. There is a huge differentiator out there. Like if I call a shop and the shop can handle my complaint, my conversation, and get me to a service advisor very smoothly, I stand out. I'm not in the same boat as 80% of the others. It's a differentiator.
Yeah, I've mentioned it before in an episode on client relating capability. One or two businesses in any market, any industry, will stand out from the others. And this is a clear area where your client relating capability can be enhanced by someone in this role. That's really good. So, okay, they're reaching out and there's some outstanding needs. Their goal is, of course, twofold. One, just to connect with the client, make sure that we know they care, and then try to identify any barriers that they may have to coming into the shop and get them to come back into the shop. Seems simple, but there's some tools that go along with this, because one of the things I see is like, well, there's a lot of data and a lot of clients and a lot of shops that it's hard to sift through some of these things to find where what the shop would consider the good opportunity. But the opportunity isn't really the thing that determines this sort of a follow-up. This is something that gets done, period, for every single client.
Absolutely. Like you mentioned Bob Greenwood earlier, we also had lots of conversations around the fact that customers, through process, can become clients.
Bingo. Yes.
So yes, absolutely everybody. That's what I meant by the 100% rule. So 10 people, 6 people come through my shop. We have to address those 10 people. We can't pick and choose, oh, 2 of them are really good because they spent $1,000. So let's say hi to them. The other 8 might have had all kinds of reasons why they didn't, and they could still become clients long term. So it's retention management, client relationship management means having a view on every single person that comes through my shop. I've been focused on that for 10 years. We had the VIM system in the past. We have a new system now. And all those systems were based on, if I'm looking at my follow-ups and I'm following up 6 months from today, at the very minimum, if I had 22 appointments on that day 6 months ago, I should have 22 people on my list of to-dos today. Minimum. That's not to count all the people that are outside of that needing tires and needing this, needing that. So that job becomes very crucial. And people say, well, I don't know if I can keep that individual busy for a whole day doing that. My goodness, if you can't keep a reservationist busy doing a reservations and CRM, we've got trouble. Like, we can keep that person busy with 5 appointments a day.
Yeah, because sometimes these are long conversations. We talked about this briefly. This would be an interesting metric to know. I don't even know if there's reporting, probably with some new, like if you're using like inbound calls, one of the sponsors of this show, they have a lot of great AI reporting on how phone call conversations go and if certain touching points are brought in. I'm curious how long the typical like reservationist check-in call actually goes. Do you have any gut instinct on this or?
No, it's not gut. It's 6 to 6.5 minutes.
Beautiful.
Yeah. People listen to that and they go, well, that's not too bad. That's not that long. But 6.5 minutes is a considerable conversation.
It really is.
Yeah. Most appointments that we were doing in the past were in the 40-second range, 40-second, 45-second range. So 6 minutes is a tremendous amount of time. And then how does it look? Because in a lot of cases, we do a 2-step process. We collect the information. We get everything we can up front. Then we go do what you call a research project. So we go in and we find out what's the deferred work look like? What's the rental car availability? When can we bring them in? And then we call back with a built work order to approve the work that they're coming in for. So all that is done in a two-step process. So by the time you're done adding the second conversation in, you're closer to a 10-minute call to do one proper reservation.
Now, this is something you could not do unless you were doing comprehensive inspections, is something I'm hearing in there.
With the clients that I coach, DVI is a must. Like if somebody came to me and said, could you coach me in my shop, but I have no interest in going down the...
But not just DVI. I'm talking like a difference between a courtesy level quick check and an actual comprehensive inspection, which is something I learned back when Bob was coaching me. Like there's some quick inspections, touch-up inspections that you can do. But if a client has not ever had a comprehensive inspection, that's one of the primary goals that we're working towards during the visit.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah.
And that'll guide a great deal of the information that we're counting on this in this research project. And I think this is where a lot of the shops that I work with are initially kind of fuddled and confused. And I've been there, like being a transmission specialist, we were laser focused on transmission powertrain. I didn't even care about brakes or tires for the longest time because we had friends that did all that stuff nearby. They sent us all the transmission work. We farmed out all the general repair work, da da da. Lots of things have changed in the industry in 20 years. And yet a lot has not. And I am still seeing a tremendous inconsistency in the depth and degree of which we are getting the buy-in from technicians to perform that inspection. But what they're doing is providing critical data to keep the shop full and themselves busy. They see it as something that interrupts them from their job of getting cars out the door, but they're actually robbing themselves of the data that is critical to getting that car back in the door for the right reasons.
Yeah. And you know what? I put that on the owner. I do. The owner needs to sit with that technician and they need to understand. This isn't a rules and regulations game where we say, this is how you need to do it. This is how it gets done. That doesn't build culture. Culture gets built by understanding why we do what we do and believing in the fact that what we're doing is the right way to do business. That's when culture changes. And once the owner has been able to change culture, the rest of it becomes a process that just develops as you go.
Yeah. And I wouldn't want to sound like it's a condemnation on anything either, or if anyone feels convicted by this, believe me, I've been there. Rui, you've been there too. And getting that culture change, that mind shift on there is what really does equip the rest of it. That culture of taking care of your clients, how can you do that unless you're inspecting every car that comes in your bay thoroughly?
I mean, Craig, the other side of that, like you're looking at the mechanical repair, the aspect of the vehicle as the game that needs to be understood before we can engage with the client. But there's outside factors. I'm about to lose my job. I'm about to leave the country for 3 months. I go down south 6 months of the year. All those different factors that are human factors, they make a difference in our conversations on how we go about handling a client. My budget, I'm on paycheck to paycheck. I need to do things $200 at a time. That's an important piece of the conversation for us to understand how we want to look after your vehicle. I have three vehicles. One of them, I spend 6,000 kilometers a month. I'm in Canada, so it's kilometers. So it's 6,000 kilometers a month.
Yes, yes.
Doing sales calls. But my other vehicle is a farm truck that I have on the farm, never leaves the farm. So when I bring that vehicle in, I have to look, technician needs to look at that vehicle differently than they look at the vehicle that's on the road for 6,000 kilometers from a sales call. They might not require the same high level parts. They might not require the same warranties. They may not be interested in certain pieces being repaired. So those, again, conversations need to happen at the CRM level in a lot of cases.
Yeah, no, that's good. And you talked about the odometer before. We talked about it in episode 22. We talked about the beginning of this episode, getting that proper reading. In episode 41, I was with Hunt Demarest. He was talking to a shop from a purely accounting standpoint. They were seeing a dip in sales and correlating the number of clients coming in as well. The advice from Hunt was call your clients, find out what's up. And they did, and they start finding all the reasons why people are driving less. Remote work was setting in around COVID, you name it. There's all sorts of reasons people will drive more or less, and that changes their needs. And they will tell you what those things are, and that can start to inform. how you do things next.
Absolutely.
Interesting stuff. So, all right, Rui. So a reservationist is going after these people with care, curiosity. They've done the research. They're trying to get them to come back in for the appointment. Oftentimes they know because they've done a comprehensive inspection, and these are fresh quotes that were made. So maybe the quote is current and up to date. Obviously, you're checking all those things. Gaining approval and getting an appointment, is that something that goes into this?
Absolutely. Through the CRM piece, absolutely. If we're contacting about, let's say we're contacting 2 weeks out, because I don't know, I'm going to use an example of brakes. Brakes are at 3 mils in the reading. Dangerous enough or close enough to measurement that could be done today, but a little old lady going to the grocery store 20 kilometers a week could probably have that sit around for another month or two. Whatever the reason, could be budget, that they can't do it right away. So that one is quote unquote critical. We're reaching out 2 weeks after. We're saying, what about the brakes? What can we do? Well, you know what? I want to do them, but I don't have the $800. You know, what can we do? Well, we quote out the proper warranty related parts. We call premium. We could go down in the quality of the part that we're putting out. It's not that they're garbage parts. It's just that they don't carry the same warranty. Things like that. Maybe there's a conversation around that. But yeah, we're trying to book an appointment at the next step. So let's get the brakes booked in. Let's get that done. Or if it's front and back, let's get the fronts done this time around. Let's get the back ones done in a couple of months. So we'll keep track of that. I'll set up a reminder in my system and I'll keep you reminded of it. If it's straight up, you know what, I just can't do that right now. I'm going to let it sit until it goes metal to metal, or I'm just not going to think about it. Those conversations happen also. Okay, fantastic. I'm looking here at my scheduler and it looks like your oil change is due in January. So you won't hear from me till then. Talk to you then. And we're setting up that expectation that I am going to be giving you a touch point in January related to the oil change. So that when I do that, you're not surprised. That doesn't come across as, oh, these guys must be slow, so they're just trying to bug me. You know, because we do a lot of that stuff in the industry. We do a lot of turning it on and turning it off. So if we're very, very busy, CRM stops happening.
Well, one thing too, you mentioned, Rui, like, all right, we're going to follow up with you then. Where are you noting this so that we know our task has been completed? How is this being documented in your case?
Yeah, so we built a scheduler system, a CRM scheduler system for exactly that reason, for tracking those things. So we have a client dashboard in front of us. We're building the next contact point. We've got automations that say this client is going to, as soon as they're done, you asked earlier, what happens with our first point of contact? Well, 3 days later, we're going to say, hello, how you doing? Is everything okay? 2 months later, we're going to reach out on any deferred work we might have. 6 months later, we're going to reach out on the regular maintenance that needs to be done on the vehicle. So those automations are set up in the system. And one can overlap with the other, but every time I reach out to the client, I'm seeing all my automations on the screen. Oh, I see here that you're due for an oil change. And like they're calling, let's say that those set of brakes that we just use as an example, they let it go. But then all of a sudden in 5 months, they call back and they say, you know what? I can hear them squealing now. I need to bring it in. So let's get that done. Fantastic. I'm also noticing that your oil change is due in 3 weeks. Can we add that to this visit, or do you want to break those visits up into two pieces? All that data has to be in front of you. All the scheduling has to be in front of you. So yeah, we noticed a massive gap in the industry in that. We built our own system to make that happen.
Is that available now, Rui, or is that available soon?
It's available now.
What's it called?
We call it Garage Growth Scheduler.
What's that again?
Garage Growth Scheduler.
Okay.
And you know what? When we came up with the name, I said to my IT partner, garage, why do we have to use that word? That's horrible. Bob would have turned over, you know, upset about garage growth being used. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, but it's the evolution of a garage. That's what we do in our industry, right? So we want to move it away from garage. I said, like it. Okay, let's go. So yes, call it Garage Growth Scheduling.
So we call it garage here.
Garage?
Yeah.
That's why you didn't understand garage?
That's why I didn't understand initially. Yeah. So initially I was like, oh man.
All right. Touche, let's play that game over the next three podcasts.
That's what it's all about.
Scheduler. It's beautiful. If you ever want to take a peek at it, let me know.
Nice. I do. And we will. I think that's right up my alley, actually, solving some of the things. Yeah, I have people using spreadsheets because there's gaps in any CRM platform today that make this very challenging for teams to stay on task, know if they're climbing over top of another staff member who may have already made some updates to something else somewhere else. It's that use of information again, and the use of information has to be readily accessible.
This is all logged, right? It's all logged inside that system. Everybody can go, anybody can touch point on that client and see what all the communication has been. The beauty of it is that it can be assigned too. So if a reservationist is doing a reach out call, the advisor says, you know what, I was speaking to Mikey and Mikey was going to get me a quote on a set of tires in September. So just remind him to do that. Don't let him forget. We can go into that system and we can set up a task for Mikey to reach out and do that call in September. So Mikey then gets a notification that he needs to do that on September 13th or 12th or whatever that day.
Yeah, we do stuff like that a little bit with Autoflow where you can set internal reminders, but people don't always set their little reminders. Yeah, and that can be detached from a client profile. So yeah, this is interesting stuff, Rui. Plenty of food for thought on this subject still ahead. My goodness. But the reservationist role, I think it's very clear. I need a person, a staff member that is a human being engaged in this process. And that is the thing I'm hearing all the way through. In this age of AI and technology, Rui, I mean, I see a lot of overlap here where there's some data elements AI is going to be good at. They may even get good at emulating some of these things. And who knows? Maybe you'll have an AI reservationist someday. My soul breaks a little bit. My heart breaks a little bit when I think of that sort of thing, because I still think that human component is just so valuable. You have any thoughts on that?
How about the AI component is an aid to the human?
Perfect. That's exactly what I want to see. Like, help me organize the data and reset these reminders. Perfect.
Yeah. Bring all that information to me so that I can use my brain to make a phone call.
Yeah. Let me do the relating. That's what we're here for. It means more coming from a real person, in my opinion. Yeah, it's not a relationship otherwise.
Absolutely. And you know what? I got to tell you, the things we need to do in this industry right now to be differentiated from the rest, to be above and beyond what the world does, is not that complicated. And it includes human being contact. You do that properly, you're ahead of the game. You're miles ahead of the game.
Man, price yourself right, staff yourself right. You've got an enterprise. Beautiful stuff. Rui, any other final comments on the role of the reservationist or advice you'd like to give?
No, they need to be trained properly. They need to be given time to be trained properly. You got to remember that role. In many, many shops, the role doesn't exist. So finding that individual to fit that role, I have an HR program that actually does some profiling on that individual. Like you send out a profile type document. And we're looking for certain characteristics of what that individual does right or wrong, what they like in life, what they like doing. Are they a people pleaser? Are they not? Do they enjoy collecting data and talking to customers on the phone? Those types of things are collected. So you can find the right individual. But remember, when that individual comes into your building, there's some ground here that needs to be, we need to be patient with how that settles out, because that is a huge interference in how we do business. Your service advisor is used to answering the phone. Now, all of a sudden, somebody's answering the phone for them. Your service advisor wants to be in control of the outgoing conversations. Now, somebody's doing that for them. So there's a big gelling process that happens here. So patience with the training process is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. The quality of life for advisors going up that tremendously. I think that that's an attractive goal for any shop.
Absolutely. Being given some time back to actually speak with the client about the vehicle, about the condition it's in, about the things that are required and the things that are recommended. Absolutely. Those times are given back to you.
Those conversations being rushed or not being fully present for that conversation is so destructive. Everyone feels when somebody's stressed or too busy in order to be present with them, and it feels bad. Well, hey, this felt good, and I think we did. We scratched at profundity here today, Rui, as always, and I look forward to the further conversations with these dashboard and scheduler items that you've been developing. I think the way you see things for where this industry is going, once again, I can't thank you enough for continuing to be truly the living embodiment of what I learned from Bob Greenwood. It's just so great still having a voice in the industry that I can share these ideas with. So thanks for being that.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Thank you for your existence.
Hey, thank you also to our listeners and our sponsors who make the show possible. Rui, if anyone wants to reach out to you, what's the best way to reach you?
Well, Rui at evolvead.ca. So evolvead.ca. I guess phone number 902-225-1360.
Beautiful. Thanks, Rui. And hey, if you're looking to reach out to speak up on something here on the show or want to hear something spoken about on the show, reach up to me at speakup@craigoneal.net. And we do appreciate hearing from you on anything that helps, any questions you have on recent episodes or just topics you want to hear discussed. Remember, also listen up to the other shows on the Aftermarket Radio Network, Remarkable Results Radio with Carm Capriato, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow, Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest, and the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker. And then there's the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. Once again, thank you so much to our sponsors. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you, Rui, for joining me today. Thank you. Now, everyone, get out there, listen up, speak up, and hire a reservationist. What are you waiting for? Thanks, Rui.
All right, Craig. Thank you. Take care.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Craig on your favorite podcast listening app and on his YouTube channel. Let him know what you'd like him to speak up about. Craig is all for advancing the automotive service aftermarket.